minutes past 10 o'clock. All the day jobs, show the world we're small. Tune the frequency, answer the call. And as promised, we're in conversation with my first guest for the morning, Sham Misra. Nice to see you again, Sham. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been great to not be in the limelight and come and answer questions on water supply, but I think it's great to be here this morning. Thank you, Dave.
Well, you always are in the limelight because, let's face it, the issues around service delivery in South Africa are burning, and particularly around water delivery in many parts of the country. But we're extremely fortunate in this North Coast Ballito area that your organization, Caesar Water, is, when it comes to delivery of service, of water in particular, of water technology, you're absolutely world class, and we're very fortunate to have the ministrations of Caesar Water. But before we get into that, I wanted to find out a bit more about you, because this is the program where we do that. We kind of delve in terms of most characters in Ballito, certainly those that are forward facing in terms of public awareness. You have the cardboard cutout image, and we see the image here and there, and we think we know the story, but we really don't, because everyone has a much bigger story to tell. So I wanted to start at the beginning and find out about Sham Misra. Firstly, your name gets a lot of people confused. They call him Shyam or Siam or Yam or what? Give us the background.
Yes, so I think the spelling of my name in terms of S-H-Y-A-M, it's basically the direct translation from how it's spelt in Hindi. As my family would, so it has sort of a Y in it, and it was then translated identically to be Shyam, if you pronounce it that way, but it's actually Sham from that perspective. So I lived with the fact that people would call me by different names, and it doesn't change who I am. If someone could even call you derogatory names, as long as you know who you are, what you stand for, I think that's important.
Well, absolutely. Let's go back. Where did Sham grow up?
So, in my very early days, I grew up in Chatsworth. My family is originally both mum and dad from Kwadiguza. And then we moved to our farm for a few years. And then I lived for many years in Stanger Manor in Kwadiguza. And for the last 5 years, to the Dolphin Coast now as well, living in one of the estates here. I think enjoying the convenience of being close to work. And I travel a lot, so being close to the airport makes a difference. And I think because I travel, having safety for my family was one of the key reasons of moving away from Kwadiguza. We loved our home there. We loved the community there in Stanger Manor itself. But I think the move has changed our lifestyle, and I think we're enjoying this part of the world a lot.
Oh, that's good to know. Growing up, what did you, when you were at school, you must have, like so many kids do, have an idea of what you were going to do and what you were going to be. What was that?
Sure. I think there are many things. You know, when you're a young child, you want to either become a fireman or you want to become a policeman, when you see a gun or whatever, it looks cool. But then my eldest brother went into the accounting field, his wife as well. And then I ended up studying accounting. And I remember when my dad used to sign checks, and I thought it's so cool to sign these things. And, you know, it was like giving away money. And so I ended up studying finance myself. I was at PwC before I joined Caesar Water.
Is that what you wanted? I can't imagine any kid, youngster, wanting to be an accountant. I mean, I'm not being derogatory now, but it's kind of boring stuff, really.
No, I think somehow or the other, I think even in school, I enjoyed the subject. It's something that it came naturally, in high school, especially when I got to grips of the subject. And it's something that I didn't have sort of a second option, but I wanted to get into finance specifically. I enjoyed more when I got some exposure at PwC in terms of mergers and acquisitions. So I think that was more inclined to what I would want to have done. In fact, before I joined Caesar Water, probably 3 weeks before I joined, I had an interview with the IDC to join them. And they flew me up to Johannesburg for an interview. And when I came back, and I was newly married, and I told my wife, but this is what I want to do. But the manager of Caesar, the general manager at that time at Caesar, had waited for me from November to February to join. I said, but the man has some faith in me to not look at an alternative and wait for 4 months for me to join. And I think I owe that responsibility and honor that kind of agreement.
That's quite something. So they held the position for you for 4 months because, well, they knew you were the right guy. And I think they made a wise choice. But going back, because we've got a little bit of time to discuss these things, who were your main influences when you were young? Who? Because I can hear, just from what you're telling me, the family clearly had a strong influence, and your parents, and they no doubt wanted you to become an accountant and go and get a proper job, because that's what one does, and you followed that advice. But you must have had other influences. Who were they?
So my family is basically quite grounded in terms of spiritual awareness, and I think one of the mentors that we look up to is Satya Sai Baba, and being a great follower of the teachings of him for many, many years, from the time I was a little kid, attending Saturday classes and getting a good grounding in terms of values. And I wouldn't say religion, I'll say values. I think because sometimes we actually become very complacent and proud of our religion, egoistic about it. But a value system is something that holds true no matter what religion, race you are. And I think that's something that really inspired me to do the right thing at many times and many questionable opportunities that you would have. So I think that became a very, very big influence in my life for many years. And it's today too.
Was your whole family a follower of Sai Baba?
Yes, from it was my mom's influence.
Ah. It's interesting. I know a number of folk in the area that still, you know, quietly in the corner there is a picture of Sai Baba. He passed many years ago now, I think. But the influence remains very strong. And if I'm correct in suggesting that one of the major tenets of what he preached was kindness.
Yeah, to love all and serve all, yeah. Correct.
What a wonderful philosophy. What a magnificent philosophy, and I'm sure that it stood you in good stead. We're going to take a little musical interlude, and we'll come back and continue the conversation with Sham Misra on 88 FM on The Dave Charles Show. Brothers and a tune called China Grove on The Dave Charles Show on 88 FM. On The Dave Charles Show, the world gets small. Tunes of frequency, dance of the call. Radio license style, 88 FM. The toast will come. And we're in conversation with Sham Misra. He is the boss when it comes to water matters on the North Coast. Caesar Water, name that is on everyone's lips, really, because against the trend, our water continues to flow. I mean, there's always issues, for sure, but generally speaking, Caesar does a fabulous job. So the man who really and truly heads up the operation and certainly is the first to face the music when anything goes wrong, with his team of good helpers around him, and he's my special guest this morning, Sham Misra. So, Sham, we've discussed now your early days and I like the fact that you have this spiritual element that interfaces quite well, I think, with the role that you play now, because you are in a very responsible position, and it must be tempting to go with the flow. And you know, our country is like this. Someone says, "I tell you what, Sham, if you just, you know, send us some water here, and we'll fudge the figures, and we'll put a couple of mil into your account personally." I mean, this must happen all the time, huh?
Well, fortunately not, Dave.
It doesn't.
Yeah, no. So I think, you know, I think Caesar Water's maintained itself in terms of high integrity for many years, and it's not 27 years, closing 27 years in terms of being the service provider here. And I think one of the things we pride ourselves on is on the values and ethics. And I think the organization is a reflection of the people. And, you know, if you maintain that, if you're able to be resolute in terms of how you want to drive your organization or what value system you want to have the ethos of, and I think it's very important to stay in that. Well, you hear lots of horror stories with regard to the corruption in the sector, or the water sector, the tankering mafias, etc. And I think, fortunately, we've steered away from many of those ills. And I think, you know, we would support projects and social upliftment projects, but, you know, Caesar Water doesn't affiliate as a service provider to any political party. We, you know, people can have their own personal beliefs, but our ethos as a company is our services must speak for itself, not our affiliation.
And they certainly do. And I say this because, well, for one thing, and I don't think many people understand the technology that you've developed here. I believe there are only two, and correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I understand, there are two facilities in the country that can take what is termed grey water and recycle it to the point where it is absolutely pure and drinkable, and we are in a situation in Balito to benefit from that. How did that come about?
So that was a drought intervention. We looked at many options when the drought occurred in 2015, 2016. And one of the aspects was, where's the source of where you'll get water? Because if we don't have water, we don't bill, we don't get revenue. And I think we also weighed the cost benefit of tankering in water, which is rather expensive, and there's no income on that as well. So it was a business decision for us to look at that. And then at that time, we were still under the banner of Sembcorp, the Singaporean water utility company. And with their assistance, they had one of the largest water recycling facilities in the world in Singapore. That we had their assistance. We visited the plant. We gained the insights. And then we had the vision to develop this plant as a drought intervention. And, you know, when many were watershed on the greater north coast from Tongaat up to Kua Deguza, we were able to lift our restrictions when Hazel Mia was at very low levels because we had the augmentation scheme. So the plant's now running for approximately 10 years, and I think it's a great success story because even when the 2022 floods occurred, the plant was actually a lifesaver when we had issues of pipelines washed away, the inability of Umgeni Water to supply us with adequate bulk. The plant gave lifeline to us to supply our customers with lifeline supply, as well as many residents outside our area to collect water.
It's been an absolute game changer, and very few people realize that here in Balito we have this world-class technology that's taking water that would normally be, well, essentially just flow away. You know, after the initial scrubbing, it would be lost, really, and here it is recycled. It makes so much sense in a water-shy country. What is the process, though? Some people say, well, no, you can't recycle water entirely. You know, it's always going to be full of something.
Yeah. So the plant that we have at the Frasers, which is just opposite the contractor's entrance of Zimbali, adjacent to now Zimbali Lakes as well, is an award-winning plant and has basically got the accreditations from the Department of Water Sanitation in terms of the quality standards. And it's been ranked probably one of the best plants in KZN, if not South Africa, in terms of its class. So we operated that plant for many, many years, and I think we've upgraded the plant. And to enable us to actually recycle water, we had to change a lot of the process of how we actually operate the plant from a conventional wastewater treatment facility. And then we had to input technologies for reverse osmosis, ultrafiltration, multimedia filters, UV disinfection, and then lastly chlorination. And then we blend that water again with the traditional supply from the dam and then distribute that water.
So it is literally as good as when one might find in many commercial bottled waters around, in South Africa.
That's correct. It's the same technology that's used for bottled water.
And isn't that peculiar that you can actually open the tap and get it as pure as that? And how fortunate. What are some of the challenges looking forward now? Because I'm hearing rumblings about water supply going forward is going to be core critical to political stability and continued economic growth. And we're looking at this area as a big driver in, you know, economic growth, hopefully, God willing. But water, without water, there's nothing. And you guys are at the cutting edge when it comes to supply, but you depend very much on the water coming in from elsewhere. And if that goes down, well, we've got luckily the intervention that you pioneered 10 years ago or so, but that won't really be enough. And I believe you've also linked up to the Tugela, am I correct?
Yeah, so the traditional water supply system is from the Hazel Mia dam, which is a plant run by Umgeni Water that supplies bulk water, which is probably maybe 80 to 90% of the demand that we need.
Now, that Hazelmere Dam had a problem on the dam wall for some time, and then it was raised.
Correct.
How successful was that?
So I think that project's completed, okay. And it's more or less doubled the capacity of the dam as well. So we've got better resilience coming if there's another drought.
That's
hopefully, we're in a better position for... But as we know, the North Coast is growing, which means the water demand grows as well. So... we do also get some supply from Lower Tugela, which was another intervention. But I think that supply is also basically taken up in terms of the development up north. And the northern area of our service area, sort of Itete, Shakos Kraal, would get water from the Lower Tugela scheme. But I think the advantage is that Amgeni Water able to switch between Hazelmere system and the Lower Tugela in that zone. They can't bring water all the way to Belito from Lower Tugela currently because of pressure issues and dynamics of the infrastructure. But I think we are lucky that certain zones are still able to have dual supply.
Has there ever been any consideration for desalination?
One of the drought interventions was desalination. The cost of desalination is phenomenally high. But, you know, when you say it's high, technology is changing, it's becoming cheaper. The other issue is electricity supply and stability of electricity, and then the stability of the ocean that you abstract. And the cost of land to establish a desalination plant on this coast is phenomenally expensive with high residential value estates, especially on the coastline. So it is an option, I think, when you have no other option, but it's an expensive option. And you look at many of these plants that have been... established during droughts have been mothballed because of the cost of running that as well. So, you know, when you have no alternative, like in the Middle East, for example, then you have to pay the price of having water, but there's no substitute for water. But desalination could be an option if we're looking at holistically the water cycle of South Africa, where from the rivers and the surface water, you augment supply inland where they can't desalinate. But we found that recycling was actually much cheaper, although it's the same technology, than actually desalination as well, and more stable in terms of its production.
But there are alternatives in worst-case scenario.
Yeah,
because you look at the sort of Middle Eastern situation, and many of those countries depend almost entirely on desalination. And one of the big concerns now with the crisis in the Middle East is that there may be attention focused on those plants, those desalination plants, because that'll literally close down those countries. It's always a crucial factor, water. Water is life. Without it, there is none. Going forward, and sort of finally in conclusion, Sham, there has been a bit of talk of late that the Caesar Water contract with the municipality is a fixed-term contract, and we heard a while back that it had been in negotiation and tacitly or tentatively there had been an agreement to extend the contract going forward into the next season. But then there was another sort of back chat of story that said, no, that isn't really the case yet. Where do we stand?
So we also saw the social media posts and regarding the need to extend the contract, and it hit the media as well. But there's been no formal engagement regarding the extension of the contract. The contract does provide for an extension, but I think the legislative framework that we have currently requires certain aspects to be fulfilled before that. I think we are fortunate also to engage very recently, I think almost a month ago, when the minister and deputy minister visited our Fraser's plant and the recycling plant itself. And, you know, they actually presented to the president on both the concessions that we operate as South African Water Works. And one of the things that came out was that what they saw was when the private sector was involved in water services, there were minimal interruptions compared to what we have. The quality of infrastructure was maintained much better. So it was very positive in terms of the outlook. And I think with government looking at solutions and also promoting PPPs, I think it puts us in good stead for that. But at this stage, in terms of the CESA concession specifically, we had very early days regarding an extension.
Well, we certainly hope that that comes through, because you're doing a fabulous job and have done from the get-go. And we're very fortunate to enjoy the ministrations of an organization like yours. And as you say, a public-private partnership is really seems to be the way forward when it comes to service delivery. We look forward to a long continued association with sees water, and with you, Sean. Thank you so much for making the time. I know you're a very busy man. It's always good to chat to you on the radio, so to speak. And this will be up as a podcast, so you'll be able to share it and listen to it again on demand. My very special guest, Sean Misra, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, David. Thank you to the listeners as well.